Welcome to episode 32 of Skyjacks, Courier's Call. I'm your host and narrator, Drew Merzieski. I'm joined by Allison Grauer, Palomi Pertap, and Aaron Catano-Saez to bring you a story of adventure, skyships, mail carriers, and kids just like you. Last time, Cece, Kieran, and June found themselves mingling with the upper crust of Teshirt at a fancy pants party while trying to get to the top of the Red Feather Syndicate Tower. And with Phileas Youngblood hot on their tails, will our couriers make it to their destination in time? Heed the call, couriers. Stand to, and let's fly.
Gone are the days when it was easy to ride, singing way, hey, ho. But the years haven't withered my joy and my pride, singing way, hey, ho. I've never been much for the pistol or blade, singing way, hey, ho. For the sun is my course and the sky is my trade, singing way, hey, ho. My mother, she told me that life would be fine if you're free with the water but savor the wine, and to never be hurried but always on time, singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey, ho.
June and Cece, you have moved into the crowd. Have you tried to keep tabs on each other, or have you just gone out to find Kieran?
I mean, June's instinct is to stay with Cece and look for Kieran.
Yeah. Stay together. I think
in some situations they would feel comfortable spreading out, but this is not one of them.
Yeah.
This is scary. Like, these are grown people partying.
And they're not friendly people either.
No, everybody's nasty. So I think human chain is still in effect, the power of human chain, and we just go tripsing through the crowd, sneaking and stealthing and like slipping through people as they dance their slow boarding dance.
And as you guys go through, the looks of judgment that fall on you are heavy, oppressive even. There's that look that people give you where they think they're hiding the way that they feel about you, but they're not. And they know that they're not. It's a polite sense of hiding behind their emotion. But you feel those looks and it's icky and it's not good. And you hear people snicker and laugh at you as you kind of move through the party. I'm going to need you guys to roll a stealth, basically. Roll.
Ooh.
Is that...
I'd call that either a deft or a clever.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank God you said clever.
Mm-hmm.
So
the eight-sided dice looks like that.
Let's have you, Cece. I want you to gather up your pool and roll for this.
For clever?
Yeah. I want you to gather up clever. I want you to gather up a distinction and then something else. You're basically leading June through the party.
All right. So I'm going to roll my distinction. Respect is earned, not given. And I'm going to roll clever, and my relationship is obviously with my homegirl, June.
Nice.
So what is that, three?
That's three dice. Roll it. Tell me what you get.
Ah!
Top two.
Two sixes.
Two sixes, so a 12.
Yeah, that's right. Nice. Flexing on them.
Those double digits.
So you move through, and it's pretty deft as you dance around people and... past the chocolate fountain. Go for it.
Can I tell you why Cece does this so successfully?
Why?
Because Cece's feeling these burning looks. Cece is seeing the judgment. Cece is seeing all that. And yeah, it hurts her. And it hurts June. And we're like, yeah, I know we're gross. We smell. But this is my pretty woman moment. this is my, oh, you thought, big mistake, huge. And I am like, do you, and I say, June, you don't let them do this. No, they don't get to do this to us because we are the most powerful children in Sphere. We are future members of high society in Audrinville. And no, I'm the most powerful captain the world has ever known. They just haven't met me yet. And I'm not letting this happen. So she puffs up her chests. She flexes her bicep. She makes direct eye contact with these people as she walks.
You have this kind of epiphany, Cece, this whole monologue go through your brain as you're underneath the table. And when you come back out, there's a change in your face. Your eyes are a bit more on fire and you make eye contact with a woman. The woman stares at you as you make eye contact. She's wearing like platform shoes that make her far taller than she actually is.
Yeah.
It's almost like she's on stilts. Yeah. And she like looks down at you from this enormous dress. She's probably like 7.5 feet tall in this dress. But you can see like as she moves that she's basically on stilts.
Ridiculous.
She makes eye contact with you. What do you think as you look at her?
I am thinking, yeah, you may look down at me now. Cece smirks and gets out a little like, because you may look down on me now with your silly stilts and your giant bird wig. But, lady, I'm about to be in the sky where I look down at all of you. And that's where I belong, baby. You might look down on me down here when you're on the ground in your stilts. But honey, when I'm in those clouds, I'm going to look down at your wig and I'm going to cackle. That's what I'm thinking.
Nice. So you look at the one, you two have this direct eye contact for a good long moment. And finally, she looks away.
That's right. And then Cece actually mutters to June, that's what I thought.
What did you think?
You didn't hear what I was just thinking?
No. What are you looking at?
Oh, it was like, it's a whole monologue. I'll tell you on the ship. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
I had a whole inner monologue. It was fiery. It was cool. You'll hear it in playback.
No, okay.
And you guys move back into the party looking for Kieran. Kieran, you've moved away from the bench. You're heading back to the steps. We see you, the camera follow over your shoulders. You like move through everybody snaking your way. And as you get to the steps, your path is immediately barred by a man. You kind of run into them a little bit as they step right in front of you.
Sorry.
And as you kind of move around, he puts his hand out and stops you. And you look up and see this man. He's got like a fur mantle on. He's got this like coif of hair. He's like dirty blonde hair, kind of smarmy looking with a like a pencil mustache and like a little goatee. But he's draped in like metals, nice purple and gold suit. And as he stops you, he looks down at you and says, well, that was pretty well done, wasn't it?
I think Kieran is like actively backing away from this man.
And the man steps with you. He's wearing like 3-inch heels. He's got like high socks and like breeches on. And he goes, no, there's no need to go away. It was well done what you did to his eminence over there. You do know who that is, don't you?
I don't know who anyone here is.
Oh, well, and he kind of gets on your level and puts his arm around you, Kieran.
Kieran visibly shrinks. They're so uncomfortable with this.
And it almost feels like your uncomfortable feeling, your discomfort in this moment bolsters this person. As they kind of pull you closer, he's got like rings on his fingers. This man pulls you closer and he points his fingers to where this person was standing and was sitting. And you see that there's a good number of people like around this person. But he goes, well, that is Erasmus Rosegold. He's the manager general for the entire city. No, it's okay. You could be impressed.
He's not a very nice person.
Oh, no, he's not at all.
You don't seem like a very nice person either. So I'm going to go.
Oh, no, dear one. You get to stay. And he, like, you can feel him pull you a little closer. He goes, do you know who I am?
I still don't know who anyone here is.
Don't worry. You'll learn. My name, my dear little one, is Phileas. Phileas Youngblood. Don't worry. You can be impressed. And he visibly is waiting for you to recognize the name.
I think Karen just kind of stares back.
Youngblood? Youngblood is my name. It's privateers, big family. No? Nothing? Really?
I'm not from around here.
Well, whether you're from around here or not, you should know my name, but it's fine, it's fine. What's your name, little one?
I don't know you.
No, you don't. And unless you tell me your name, you'll get to know the guards much better.
Oh.
Your name?
Stephen?
Well, Stephen, I have been told by a very close acquaintance of mine that I'm to find 3 children in this party. Well, in the city at large. And what do I expect when I step out into the party itself and I see said 3 children fitting your descriptions walking through the party?
Oh, I'm not a child.
I beg your pardon?
I'm not a child.
I'm an adult.
It's so good.
I know, it's so
there's
good.
There's visible confusion on Felice's yes. face as he looks at you and goes, whatever do you mean?
I'm a very small adult, and it's rude of you to assume that I am not an adult.
He looks at you up and down in this moment. And I need you to roll a clever.
You mean he's not going to believe my lies?
No.
One of my favorite things about Kieran is their deadpan.
Yeah. What is the sphere version of Benjamin Button or Jack?
Yeah. I was also going to say, like, you know, changelings are technically immortal. So, like, you could drop some.
Good. Into a panther.
I could do that. It was just a straight clever roll, right, Drew?
Straight clever. Gosh.
Oh, 2.
Nice. Oh. It's really clever.
So smart.
Phileas looks you up and down and goes, Well, Stephen, who is, I'd say, what, 35? 36? Possibly?
I'm 52.
52? Well, you look remarkable for your age. You must come with me, and we will speak about your skincare regimen.
I have somewhere else to be.
Of course you do. You have somewhere else to be with me as we discuss where you've put the book.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And he pulls you closer, Kieran, and like is like, come this way, come with me, and begins to pull you away. I'm going to say at this point, June and Cece, you see next to the stairs, there is this godly dressed man with his hand on Kieran's shoulder leading them up the stairway.
Oh no.
What?
We need a distraction.
I can do that. Absolutely not. Someone is taking our Kieran.
We need a distraction and I will grab Kieran.
Okay. Drew, can I cast a spell? Can I do a magic?
Yes, you can.
Cast a magic.
What do you want to do to cast this magic? Like, what's the spell? What do you want to do?
I want the lights to go out.
Okay.
Ooh.
I know that's powerful, and I'm like 6 years old, but I want to try.
Okay. Here's the thing. How do you want to cast this spell? How powerful do you imagine it is?
How many candles are there? We use candles, right? There's no, like, electricity?
No, there's no electricity. There's, like, gas
there's
lamps.
There's, like, oil lamps,
oil lamps, stuff like that. But, I mean, this room is lit. So this is what I want you to do. I'm going to need you. Actually, here's the thing that's interesting about spells like this. It is, I'm trying to think about how powerful it it could be.
I would imagine that has to be quite purrful.
Yeah.
If it's lit, I had to blow out a lot of candles.
Yeah, you have to snuff out every candle in this place. So
okay.
I'm going to say it is a D10.
Can I like do something to help with that in terms of like, you know, the story sacrifice tradition type of thing?
Absolutely.
Is that a little secret seasoning that I can sprinkle on to make it a little better? Okay, because I'm mad. Like, I see somebody straight manhandling Kieran, and I'm like, we learned stranger danger in Thornvale. Absolutely not. And so, I know how to cast magic, right?
You do. You know, you have been taught.
Hey, let's pull the curtain back.
you've been taught from Starwatcher Witchwind a few things about magic at this point. Mostly the magic paths that you have learned are like story. And that's mostly it. And like lumens, that's kind of the magic path that you've kind of put yourself on. So the idea being, okay, so here's the thing. You can use stories or magic. You have, did you hear? Step up magic by one to cast a spell using stories. Can be used for one of the following: a reroll, a step up, a step down, or an added die. So this is, it's either did you hear or it's Lumen Ex Machina. Spend two plot points to call a lumen to empower an object and create a D10 signature asset. Once the scene is over, the item becomes inert.
That's cool.
Okay, I would like to use my distinction, Lumen Ex Machina, to potentially try to kill the lights in a creative manner.
Okay.
Because I'm mad, and I'm pulling my Yu-Gi-Oh cards. I'm so mad.
Okay, I'm going to say, I mean, that's going to cost, I think you have two plot points. I believe you do.
I have one, actually. I can't do this?
Okay, no, you can.
Mine says one.
You can. I'm going to up it. So you use that one, and then I'm going to up this spell from a D8 to a D10. So you're going to take a D10 stress in magic to do it.
Okay.
You begin to cast this spell. What does it look like as you begin to cast it? Like,
well, first, do I have to use a lumen first? Do I have to draw one?
You can.
Can that be our guide of what I know what I want it to do?
Yeah, draw a lumen from your deck.
Pulling my lumen, and I got the island. CC is so angry, sees this super creeper leading Kieran away, and I'm like, not on, no, absolutely not. And is like, I'm willing to, I'm so angry, and I'm drawing my deck, and I pick it, I pull it out, and I see the island, and I want the, and I'm willing to burn this. I want the island. I kind of imagine that my island is a lonely person just sitting and like waves are crashing all around them on a tiny body of water. I look at the image and I imagine the, one of the people in the band are playing like a string instrument. And when they strike it, I'm like imagining the wind of the island coming off of that instrument and blowing out all the candles.
Beautiful. And so you pull the card, you hold it out, you look at it, and there's this moment where I feel like only you can see the glow that kind of goes around the card. It's like sparks that kind of like subtly go around the card. And we see the picture of the island, and you manifest this moment of wind and water, and the whole orchestra, as they play a particular note, there is a crash of as thunder cracks. And for a second, you can hear the roar of waves and it rains in the room. For just like 3 seconds, it just rains. People scream as that happens and all the lights go out. And you, CC, take a D10 stress in magic.
It almost feels like the wind that caused the rain, it was like taken from my lungs.
Mm.
Like all the air just like pressed, like someone just compressed CC into like a thin piece of paper. And in that 3 seconds, the initial one is her first, oh my God, like, ow, 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 ow. It hurts real bad.
And the room is cast into sudden chaos.
June,
we gotta go.
Yeah, so as soon as Cece starts to gasp and say ow, June puts her arm out and holds Cece up. Are you okay?
Yeah, we gotta get Kieran now, though.
Okay, you start going up the stairs. I will grab Kieran. And June lunges forward as the last of the lights flutter out, and everyone is running around and moving because their wigs are getting wet. June runs forward and is going to scoop Kieran up out of this man's grasp.
So as you guys run by, you grab at Kieran. Cece, as you're going up the stairs, you like get your breath back. And you go, as you breathe in, you're like, oh, it's back. And as you exhale, the wind goes out of your lungs again. And it rains again. And like every time you breathe, it rains, but it hurts every single time. And it's less and less every time. Like it's physically taking your breath from you.
Can I give you a detail?
Please.
As we're running up, my adrenaline's up, we're going up the stairs. Every time I'm taking a breath and a little more rain comes, I'm hearing things like waves crashing and seagulls and... I'm sort of seeing this like faint image of water coming up around me, and it gives me a moment of panic, but then it's gone. But my chest still hurts.
Yeah, and it's there was that initial burst of like water, and now it's steadily raining in here, and there's lightning and thunder above you. It's a storm in this room. People are screaming. People are running. The lights are out. You rush up. Kieran, you feel someone's hand take yours in the darkness.
I think it's this like relay race moment where when the lights go out, Kieran kind of slips out of this stranger's grasp. And like as they're kind of moving away, the other side of them is sort of picked up by June. And they just go with it. They just go.
The Kieran baton.
The Kieran baton.
Beautiful. You guys race up the steps. At the top of the steps, there is a big double door that's open. There's a couple of other small doors on this wall, but there is a door all the way at the end of this room.
The book. He knows that I have a book, and we should not give it to him.
Okay.
And this is in the dark. Like, it's raining around you guys. You guys are beginning to get wet.
Okay. We gotta get to the roof. So I think June hurries everybody down the hall to that open double door.
As you guys run, there's a, there they are, they're that way, they went that way. No, you idiot, go after them. And you hear that said as the screams reach a crescendo, people are running around. You guys are like moving closer to that doorway. It's dark in here. There's a little bit of light, but not a lot. The only light you really see is the flash of lightning. And every time it flashes, you are getting closer and closer to that door. But the camera is on the other side of you, looking behind you, and there are people running towards you as well. They're not wearing like the guard uniforms. It looks like they're wearing coats in purple and gold as they rush after you as well. As you guys head down the hallway, you get to the door. Who goes through first?
I mean, I'm going first.
Okay, you open the door and... the three of you head through?
Yeah. Kieran will rush in after.
Yeah. Cece is a mess and just kind of like lurches in last.
Because it feels like you've had the wind knocked out of you, Cece.
Oh, but I have been running on fumes.
And every time you breathe, like the storm gets bigger and bigger.
It kind of feels like, you know, when you get knocked down in the ocean by a wave and every time you get up, you're kind of like, and like a little bit of seawater comes out. That's kind of the sensation here.
Yeah.
I feel like we have a moment where, as you guys go through, Cece, you cough and you do cough seawater. Like you cough and it's wet and you taste salt.
What's at the end of the, what's through this doorway?
You open the door.
Is it another room?
It's another room. You open the doorway. It's a long hallway that's opulently decorated, but there is like a lift on the other side.
We gotta go. We gotta get to that lift.
But yeah. In here, it's light as you guys get in here. Mm-hmm. And there are guards at those lifts.
Oh, okay. We keep going towards that lift. And I think June starts shouting to the guards and says, they need you downstairs. Something happened. It started raining in the ballroom. Do you have any idea what's going on? There's guards everywhere. Why aren't you at your post down there?
Hello, couriers, and welcome to The Midroll. I'm Drew, your host and narrator. We are very excited to announce that Skyjack's Courier's Call has made it onto the ballot for the 2021 Audioverse Awards. Last year, you gave us an amazing turnout, and we were so thankful to receive some awards in the new show categories. This year, we're appearing on the regular ballot in several categories, and you can even catch us in the nominee showcase alongside a number of other One-Shot Network shows and creators. Voting is currently open until Sunday, October 17th, 2021. So if you're interested in supporting us there, visit audioverseawards.net to cast your ballot. Another way to show your support, if you haven't done so yet, is leaving a star rating and a written review to help boost the show to new listeners who might be interested. We appreciate all of you who have done so already. And now, a special thanks to some of our wonderful Kickstarter backers. Jess Rogers, thank you. David Gibb, thank you so much. Chris McBride, thank you so much. Ryan Macy, thanks. Ashlyn Consigliere, thank you so much. Akemi Maniwa, thank you so much. Sam Wiseman-Holler, thank you. Erica Maybe, thank you. Jay Delanoy, thank you so much. Again, thank you everyone. We're so glad you could help us make season 2 a reality. And now, with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky.
Singing way, hey, ho.
And I think June starts shouting to the guards and says, they need you downstairs. Something happened. It started raining in the ballroom. Do you have any idea what's going on? There's guards everywhere. Why aren't you at your post down there?
What do you want to roll?
I think it's probably going to be brave because June usually does not go for the I'm going to lie and hope that they believe me. But I think we have to keep moving. So I'm doing brave as an attribute. Am I rolling anything else?
You need 3 dice.
3 dice. Okay, so brave. I'll do always looking out for the little guy because I'm defending my friends. And I'm actually going to roll my relationship with Cece because this is usually a Cece move. I learned this move from Cece.
Oh, how nice.
Roll those 3 dice. Take the 2 highest.
16.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So as you're running, you guys are drenched.
Mm-hmm.
And look beraggled. Like you're hoisting Cece along with you. And Cece doesn't look good. And Kieran is fearfully looking behind you as you go.
Yeah.
The guards look at you wide-eyed. And they immediately leave their post to run that way as well. Just as the door, they pass you guys. As the door opens. And Phileas and like 4 other in these purple and gold. They're not nice like party jackets. They look like red feather jacket, like they're work jackets. They're uniforms.
Basically. They're just different colors.
They're just different colors.
Okay.
As they come out as well, and so you guys are a little bit ahead of these guards, heading for the lift. But immediately as Phileas comes out, he goes, "Stop them!" And they turn around. So now there's Phileas, 4 of these guys, and these 2 red feather guards who are now turning around. They're confused. As the lift is open,
just run for the lift. Run we gotta for the get lift. To the if we can shut that elevator door and go up.
Yeah.
Tell me what it looks like.
So June yells that she's like dragging the other 2 along. Cece's coughing seawater. Kieran looks like they've seen a ghost. She yells this thing. The guards hear her words and then move past them to go back the way they came. And I think June, lets go of her arms around the 2 friends and drops to grab their hands and then like it's basically the June equivalent of the Naruto run with her hands behind her and is pulling them like she sprints for the elevator, for the lift.
We see the elevator bobbing in your vision, June, as you run towards it. You get into the lift. It's one of those cage lifts. So we see that it like, I feel like it's Kieran. Kieran, you reach over and close it and you look over. And we see the camera through outside as these guys are running towards you full speed. It closes and there is a lever that has like different floors on it. Mm-hmm. But the lever is locked.
I was not expecting that.
How is it locked? Like with a padlock or...
There is a mechanism. It looks like there's like a key that is inserted and turned and then moved and then it's taken out.
Okay.
I bet you could pick it, Kieran.
I think Kieran's going to see if they can't. Cece, are you okay?
No, I am most definitely not okay.
Cece did a magic and it was wild.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't really thinking, and I might have called a luminary.
I'm going to put a pin in that and I'm going to try and unlock this lever.
This hallway that the lift is at the end of, are there like windows along the sides?
No, this is deep in the tower. Well, I mean, there's only like four or five levers on here. It's a pretty tall tower. You guys made your way pretty high up it.
Are all of them locked?
Yeah, it's the lever itself is locked. It won't go anywhere until it's been unlocked.
Okay.
And here they come.
Is this just a regular like distinctions plus attributes plus stuff?
Yep, pull three dice for me.
Okay. Has to be a distinction, so I'm going to go with the one that I always go with. Attributes. Let's go with deft.
Okay.
You know, doing some stuff. Being quick, being nimble.
I rolled a one on mine, so I'm going to give that one to you, Kieran. If you want to, you can roll an additional d6.
Ooh, I definitely want to.
But tell me how you're being helped in this moment.
So... I'm trying to think, like, if there's a... I haven't built my pool yet. Ooh, can I use my dagger to
Absolutely.
Help me figure this out? So that'll add 1d6. And then I think Cece's still coughing, and the booming thunder is still kind of happening below when that's happening, right?
You guys can see... you can hear the thunder and lightning in the room that you have come from, like down the hall. Mm-hmm. Cece's still coughing up seawater. It's not a whole lot, but it's like every time you breathe or cough, Cece, seawater comes out. Like one time you cough and there's like a small fish that comes out.
Oh, no.
Oh my God. That can't be normal.
Yeah.
I am not feeling good, kids.
I think I know what this looks like. The help comes with, you know, the chaos and like the booming sound of thunder below. I think this hallway, even though there's no windows or anything, it's still kind of decorated with like these side tables with like different types of ceramics and stuff on them. And I think ahead of the people running after us, maybe like a big vase just kind of gets knocked over on the floor and just crashes into a million pieces in front of them. And that kind of gives them pause. And it gives me those extra seconds that I need to just like work my dagger in here and
Perfect.
Unlock the lock.
Stab that lock.
I was like, oh, right. I have to roll. Ooh, okay. A 7 and the rest are 2s. So that's...
9?
7 and 3 2s. That's 7 plus 6.
Well, it's 13. The 2 highest.
Oh, the 2 highest. That's right. 9.
Yeah.
So you take 9. Tell me how you use your knife to unlock this.
I think it's a harpoon knife. Mm-hmm. So the blade is not, it's much more tapered than a regular knife would be. So it can kind of, in a pinch, suffice as a lockpick, even if it's a little bit crude. Mm-hmm. So this feels like a more ornate for show lock than it is for like high security.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a simple thing of just getting the knife in there, kind of jiggling it around a little bit until it finds the latch and then just throws it.
Okay. You get up and jam your dagger into there and you're like moving it back and forth, like trying forth. And we see out of the corner of your side, they're getting over the vase and like trying to move closer to you. it's moving back and forth. There's this tense moment and you're not getting it. You're not getting it. And you raise it one more time and just jam it in there completely and turn it. And it completely unlocks the thing. And you...
I just throw the closest lever, like the one that's closest to my hand.
Okay, I'm going to roll a d4 for that. A d6. Cool. Immediately, you hear the as the winches kick in, and it's a as you guys are lifted up just in time to see Phileas and his cohort like come up and like now as you guys head further up.
It's like that moment in Titanic.
I was just about to say, I was going to suggest that water is rising at their ankles now as they stand down there. Like the water from the island draw. It's like starting to fill the tower.
I think that what's happening is the water from the ballroom is now kind of seeping out into the hallway as you continue to cough the seawater. And like, your lungs burn. CC
hurts. I have a sudden coughing fit, and it's like it's starting to not feel as painful, but I could have sworn I heard a voice every time I cough just whispering. It sounds like nonsense.
Yeah, there's in the background there's this
terrifying, lads. CC is not in a good place. CC has made a big mistake in her eyes.
I think Kieran goes over to where CC is and kind of sinks down to the floor next to her, and just puts a hand, very gentle hand, on like the back of her shoulder and kind of does that thing when someone's coughing. You don't slap them on the back. It doesn't help. It's just kind of like a soothing gesture, kind of rubbing her shoulder.
You're there for CC. Yeah. What are you doing, June?
June is kind of like at the front door of the lift, even though it is now shut and they are moving upwards. She sort of like has her hands on the bars, like ready, trying to keep an eye out for like, we don't know how long we'll be in the lift. We don't know how high up we're going. We're hoping that it's taking us where we need to go. But like, say, you know, what if there's another stop along the way? And they're, you know, she's trying to be ready for in case something happens.
Cece, as you're sitting there on the floor, still like coughing seawater, it's getting better, but the things around you are now different. You like close your eyes and cough. And when you open them, you are on that island, that small spit of land. Water as far as the eye can see, roiling waves that crash over where you're sitting, and then it's gone. And Kieran is there. And then you cough again, and you're there again. And you cough one more time, and you're back. And it's pulling you back and forth as the magic continues to take its toll from what you've called on it.
Yeah, I am hugging my knees to my chest. And every time I cough now, I see the person in the image in front of me like a mirror. And I'm just gradually getting less terrified because I feel Kieran's hand, but it's a scary one. Yeah.
What does that person look like?
They are this tattered clothing, shadowy faced. It looks like they've been on this island for millennia. And they have these tiny, sad... All I can make out of their face is their eyes. It's this sad but intense and almost envious look that this person is giving me from their half of this tiny island.
Every time you get back there, you're there a little longer. And one of the times, as you're sitting there, kind of pulled back and forth and back and forth in this moment, the eyes of this person lift and look into yours. And they smile and laugh and reach out for you to take their hand.
Cece recoils and like rockets to her feet in a panic, jumps to her feet. And screams, "No!"
June turns around immediately. What happened? What?
I was on the... And she holds out the card she hasn't let go of, and it's hot in her hand. And she's like,
I was on the island, I was there, and I saw the Amma that was on the island.
It's okay, Cece. You're not there now. You're here. I mean, we're not technically like safe or anything like that, but like you're not on the island. You're with us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna do this. Okay. We're gonna do this together. It's gonna be fine.
I think Karen kind of very gently, can I have the card? I just want to see it.
But I don't want you to go. I don't want you to go. I don't want you to go.
I'm not gonna go anywhere. I'm gonna be right here. I just want to see it for a second so that you don't have to.
June puts her hands on Cece's shoulders.
Okay. And she kind of like opens her ironclad grip on the card.
I think Kieran will very carefully kind of slide it out of her hands.
You slide it out of Cece's hands, Kieran, and it's soaked. The card itself is wet, and it seems to be dripping water. Like it is like a source of water as you pull it off, and it's seawater. Like you can taste it almost.
I think I'm going to kind of focus my attention on the card, and not out loud, but Kieran is kind of just emanating this willingness to take on a little bit of what Cece is experiencing on the condition that she doesn't need to anymore.
Perfect. What I want you to do then, Cece, you can lower your magical strain to a d6.
Whew, okay.
And Kieran, you take a d6.
Okay.
In magical strain.
Oh, so I just skip past d4 altogether and go to a d6?
Yep, go to a d6. As you take the card, Kieran, you're using sacrifice and also love in this moment. Mm-hmm. As you pour your care for Cece into the card. And into this moment. And you feel the thing like have itself. And now you feel weight of it. But Cece, at that exact moment, you feel that weight lifted off of you. Even though it's still slightly there. You stop coughing. And things kind of quiet down for you in your brain. The whispers kind of dissipate. But the thing that happens for you, Kieran, is that in that moment that bargain is struck, you are taken to the island. And just for a moment, you're there, and you can see this roiling sea all around you, and this slate gray, black, almost black sky of lightning and thunder, and this figure standing on this spit of rock in the middle of it. And you look over, and the eyes of this person meet yours, and they're Jotaran. The person looks you up and down and goes, "He's not here. He never came."
I've bargained with madmen who claim to be kings. Sing it, way, hey, ho. And I've seen the destruction their tempers can bring. Sing it, way, hey, ho. I've ridden the winds over mountain and plain. Sing it, way, hey, ho. Just to circle the coast and curse the mariner's name. Sing it, way, hey, ho. My father, he told me to never deceive. Be a voice to the hopeless and help those in need. And to ever be thankful for what you've received. Sing it, way, hey, ho. Sing it, way, hey, ho.
At the bottom of the Red Audren, there is the mail room. And off to the side of the mail room, there is the sorting room, where the three of you tend to hang out. And as you three are sitting in there, there's a knock at the door.
Password.
Oh,
it's Ruby. Ruby, come in.
Ruby, no password necessary.
No.
We see Ruby, like, open the door a smidge and kind of put her head in. Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hey, sorry. Hi. If we'd have realized, we wouldn't have asked you for password. Come on in.
Oh, that's okay. We should put a window on this. And she like taps the door.
That's a really good idea. Or like one of those spy holes.
Yeah, we need a peephole.
Yeah. Like a porthole thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
What's up, Ruby?
What? Oh, why'd I come down here?
Just to hang? Did you want to rage? We could throw a party in your honor.
I'm going to have to move some that would stacks be
a
of paper.
Oh, it was a letter. It was a letter. It was a letter.
Okay, that's fine her, too, I guess.
We see her reach under her hat and she pulls out a small note and she hands it over. Although Bran says that you guys have, he reads them. Do you want me to read them?
Yeah. Why don't you read the letter?
Okay. And we see her put her thumb on the wax and the wax melts.
Oh. Yeah.
And she puts it like on her sleeve. You see there's a bunch of like wax marks on her sleeve. And she opens the letter. All right, let's see. Dear Cece, Kieran, and June, what is your favorite place to go camping? Sincerely, Sophie, an apprentice on the... Oh, I know Sophie, yeah.
You know Sophie?
Yeah, I was on the Black Audren before this.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you're like
that explains a lot.
Wizard.
I wouldn't really call it being a wizard.
Mm. What would you call it?
A mage?
Like, if you had to put a label on it, what would it be?
If I had to put a label on it, I would say... Like
more white magic or dark magic?
Yeah.
I'd say, it's tradition is kind of the path for it.
That sounds like white
it's
magic
to me. It's something we do as, like, my people, I guess, like my family.
It's cultural.
It's sick. A cultural thing.
Oh, sick. Cool.
God, you're cool. God, you're so cool. I mean, Cece slumps back in her office chair. God, you are cool.
She goes, yeah, I am. And she like puts her hand out and touches you, Cece, and she's so cold.
Oh, like, goodness.
Like her hands are like ice.
Oh, man. You're so rad. Gee willikers, you're so rad.
Thanks.
What was the question again?
Yeah.
Oh.
You were all kind of in awe of your presence.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's camping. Sophie wants to know where you like to go camping.
Oh. I don't. Okay, my family doesn't really do like outdoor stuff. Cuz you know, my dad's a cook and my mom runs the decorative gourd back in Thornville, so they're busy, you know. They don't really like go do outdoorsy things. But I don't know, does this count? I really liked the times that we would all like pack our little bags and stuff and go sleep in old Kid Town.
Yeah.
That totally like, counts.
Does that count as camping?
Yeah, heck yeah. Kids always camping.
Okay, I really liked that.
That was awesome. So much fun.
Yeah, Ruby, have you ever been to Old Town, like Kid Town, where Cece used to be mayor?
Old Kid.
Yeah, you know, it's like all those old buildings on the far side of Thornville.
Wait, Cece's from Kid Town.
What?
No, Cece's the mayor of Kid Town.
Cece's former mayor of Kid Town.
Former mayor of Kid Town. Because I care, and so I passed my crown to someone else. Just kidding. I deleted the position because I had to retire on top.
We gave it over to a committee, didn't we?
It's a complicated process, but really, I still hold all the power, and they're kind of just like, you know, elected.
So it's kind of like there's like a little parliament now, and you're kind of like the
But when
monarch.
The queen comes home, you know, everybody knows who's in charge.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Ruby, have you ever been to Kid Town?
I have.
Yeah, so you know, it's really cool. Know.
My family lives in a house. It's not too far from Kid Town, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we just live on the other side of the river.
Oh, wow. Sick.
Nice.
I don't know how I didn't know that. That's cool.
Oh, we keep to ourselves a lot.
Yeah. You know, I should start doing that more like you, right? You just, you know, I should be like you. Anyway, Kieran.
Cece, what about you? What about you, camping?
Camping. Me and camping. Where do I like to camp? See, I'm a bit of a... I like to break out the toys, I call them, which is like all the camping equipment. Like, I have my pots and pans. I have my little portable grill. I have my sleep. I have a sleep in a nice hammock when I like to go camping. I like to make sure that I'm equipped, that I have all the things, so that when you go, you can kind of make it a luxurious experience rather than some kind of rustic, roughing dirtiness. It's kind of a chill environment, but I like to go where there's plenty of pine trees, plenty of nice hardwood so that when you burn, it doesn't just make smoke. But then I like to go by water because I like to get some good fishing in because it easily turns a camping adventure into a picnic when you can catch a fish. You understand.
Yeah, you're really good at fishing too, you so know. That helps.
Well, thank
Cece
you.
Cece knows a lot about camping. That's why she was the mayor of Kidtown, I think.
It's true. That's why. It's because it was a fishing competition to become elected official for the second term. There were eight in total. The second one was a fishing competition, and I caught the most.
You did.
You but do yeah. The morning fire thing, right?
Yes. Cece's morning, what should I call it? My morning time. Cece's morning time.
Yeah.
Every day.
We sat in Otterbox. We sat by that fire, right?
Yeah, we did. We hung out. It was cool.
It was really tasty. It was a very good fire.
Thank you. Oh, I'm glad that, you know, you would find it to be so delicious. And frankly, it's an honor to serve someone such as yourself with my fire. Honestly, it's like a chef.
Oh, thank you.
You know. So, God, I'm just tickled thinking about it. You see, Karen, Ruby likes my fire.
Did you do a lot of camping in Jiltara?
Sometimes we did, but my favorite place is actually there's a spot under the docks that's like mostly covered, and it has like you can run into the forest if you need to, and there's like a little how do I describe this? It's like a little den, like a little foxhole, but it's me sized. So, like, I liked to hang out there sometimes and draw and do other things.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's probably my favorite place to camp.
It is awesome.
But I don't start fires and stuff because I'm pretty sure that would cause a problem for the docks.
Yeah.
Checks
out. But there's like, warm light that comes through the floorboards sometimes. It smells really nice and clean up there because it's up in the mountain. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's great.
Camping is, like, good.
Yeah, it
camping
is fun.
Is good. Camping
is your brain.
You're getting in touch with nature. You're sleeping under the stars or what's left of them. And you can just kind of, you know, be one with something. You lose yourself in the woods or the dock.
Yeah, or wherever.
Camping is where you make it. Camping is where you camp.
In my opinion, if there's a fire and you're sleeping outside, that sounds like camping to me.
Yeah.
That's why I like you, Ruby. You make a lot of sense.
I gotta go, guys.
Oh, okay.
And we see Ruby stand up and she goes to the door and she opens it and goes and waves and goes, bye.
Bye, Ruby.
Bye, Ruby. Come back soon. Come hang out in the mailroom anytime you want. We'll make an office space for you if you want.
I think that went well for you, Cece.
That went really well.
Cece's campaign, Cece, former mayor of Kidtown, campaigns to be Ruby's best friend.
Ruby's best friend.
News at 11.
Thank you for listening to Skyjacks, Courier's Call. Cecilia Witwick was played by Aaron Catano Saez, who can be found on Twitter at Aaron Catano Saez or on the podcast All My Fantasy Children. You can further support Aaron's work in voiceover and worldbuilding at patreon.com/AaronCatanoSaez. June Hymnal was played by Allison Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at Dreams to Become. You can further support Allie's creative work at patreon.com/WhimsyArtifice. This episode was also edited by Allison Grauer. Kieran Rao was played by Palomi Pertep, who can be found on Twitter at PalomiSP. You can hire Palomi for layout and graphic design by visiting her website at palomipertep.com. And I'm Drew Merzieski. You can find me on Twitter at Worlds to Forge and can further support my storytelling and creative work at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. The original score for this program was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott, who can be found on Twitter at Arnie Parrott. Official artwork was created by Jess Kraczynski, who can be found on Twitter at AngryArtist113. Courier's Call is a spin-off of Campaign Skyjacks on the One Shot Podcast Network. The setting of Sphere was inspired by the music of the Decemberists and the game Illimat by Keith Baker, published by Together Studios. This podcast uses a modified version of the Cortex Prime system, designed by Cam Banks and published by Fandom Tabletop. Skyjacks Courier's Call is a part of the One Shot Podcast Network. Other One Shot podcasts include
System Mastery, System Mastery is a delightful stroll through the history of role-playing games, except the games are terrible and the hosts are real jerks about everything. Join hosts Jeff and John as they explore the weirdest games ever made to talk about what worked, what went wrong, and which Silverhawk was the best. It was Hotwing. Don't even at them. Find their shows on SystemMasteryPodcast.com. And remember, while our show is rated E for everyone, this show was created by adults for adults, so listen at your own discretion.
That's all for this week. Until next time, heed the call, couriers. Right wrongs, do mercies, and take flight.
I'll tell you, my children, there's much I don't know, but the wind, she will take you where'er you must go, and it's better to age than never to grow. Singing way, hey, ho, singing way, ho.